We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello once again and welcome to Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
It's that time again, your favourite time, when you plug your headphones in, you sit back with a cup of tea and you have a listen to old Wilson spouting about this and spouting about that and listening to some amazing guests telling you their stories so that, you know, we can feel less alone. Things are happening. It's good. I'm having a great time. Positivity is rising. Creativity is rising. I'm having a real burst at the minute, which is really nice. I'm feeling good. Exercising, getting out there, eating better. I'm doing all right. I hope you're doing all right as well. And don't worry if you're not. You're going to be, all right? I've eaten too much today. It's like, fine, well, don't eat so much tomorrow, you know? What I've found, what I'm doing, instead of going and having a cake every day or whatever, I'll kind of put it off. I'll go, oh, I really fancy a cake or whatever, and I'll put it off. But then I'll treat myself. I'll go, yeah, I'm going to have a cake. So it might not be, it's not every day, but it's every other day or it's every couple of few days. You know, treat yourself every few days. It's really exciting and it makes me sound really lame that's what I'm excited about now. But there we are. I'm 49, you know. It's a different world, isn't it, now? So anyway, this week's guest, right, I first became aware of him in the 90s when he was in Hollyoaks. And I think he played Finn. And the mother of my children, Lisa, just absolutely, I idolised him. She was beautiful. She loved him. And we used to take the piss. You know, it was always, you know, oh, you're going to be watching your fancy man, are you? And so it's quite surreal later on when I got to know him. And he became a mate. And I say this to him every time I see him. Every now and again, I'll be sat and I go, I can't believe I'm sat here with the dude. It's surreal for me, you know, because it's, you know, it's mad, isn't it? When you see someone that was on the telly, or still on the telly, and then they're sat in front of you having a cup of tea and calling you a wanker. It's quite funny. But he's such a lovely man. And we got him on and had a chat. I knew he'd be great. He was really good company. And it's all about being a new dad, which was cool. And it's really fun chat. He's a proper lovely man. And so, without further ado, coming up in a bit is James Redmond.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Good to see you.
Likewise, dude.
Oh, this is so lovely. So lovely. And yeah, have you arranged all your books for that so we can see?
I was just thinking about doing that. I've got more kind of trendier ones up there, really, but...
Oh, yeah. You know. Oh, nice. Is that vinyl? Grace Jones. Lovely.
It is, yeah.
Looking good, man.
Yeah, I've had to get all my vinyl up off the floor because I've got a baby now.
Yeah.
She's just starting to crawl, I've just bought these record holders, and you know the ones that like you've got, where you can see the front record.
That's it. Yeah, lovely, lovely. How are you finding the transition into parenthood?
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's hard. I mean, it's also the only good thing about lockdown at the moment. So yeah, a bit of both. But
you have that individual has come into your life. And you don't realise that. I mean, people will tell you. Other parents will say your life is going to change completely, and you kind of go, "I'm ready." But you don't realise that your life is now the baby and the child, and it's just every waking moment that and it's beautiful and it's stressful and it's you know, how are you finding it?
It's difficult. I mean, I'm 50 this year, you know, so I'm very late, you know, becoming a father. And for years I'd wanted kids, but wasn't sure if I was, you know, mature enough or if I was too selfish, you know, and it turns out, I am too selfish and not mature. but I'm finding it a challenge, but you know, I mean, one of my best mates said, you know, it's quite, a relief to suddenly realize that you're not the center of the world, you know, that you don't really matter, you know, and actually there's someone better than you and more important and more precious, you know. I'm less ambitious and I don't care as much about my own appearance as I did, you know, 6 months ago, you know.
But it's funny, isn't it, that you just, like you say, your priorities change and you realise what's important in the world and what isn't so much. I tell you what, because mine are now grown up. Mine are 20, 20, 28 and 23. And it's such I feel such a sense of achievement that they're still alive. They're not too badly scarred. I imagine there's some emotional stuff in there somewhere, especially with the eldest one who, you know, I was only 20 when I had him. So he probably took the brunt of me not being prepared to be a dad because I was still a kid. So,
yeah.
But the sense of achievement now that I see them conversing with other human beings and see the stuff that they're getting up to, and it just gives me nothing but pride and joy. And, you know, you go, I didn't do a bad job. They're all right, you know?
Yeah.
It's nice. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're, you know, very decent human beings, Rich, you know, just like you.
Yeah. They've probably got elements of, they could probably be wankers as well at times. I have no doubt. But yeah, I tell you what, I'm really pleased that you agreed to come on. And it's funny because I've said to you before, like we've worked together a few times and we've become mates but like I said to you before, it's weird for me because I know you from the TV, you know, you were, like back in the 90s, you know, you were everywhere and it was, you know, so now I sit with you, like you and I could go and meet for a coffee and we could do these things. And so it's quite surreal for me. And I don't mean to make you feel weird about that. And I want to know your, you know, go on.
It works both ways, Rich, you know, because I mean, I only got into stand up, what is it? It is about 10 years ago now. No, it's more, bloody hell. It's 12 years ago, almost 12 years ago.
Bloody hell, already.
Yeah, so fuck off. So I should be better by now. So I looked up to you, you know, and seeing you, the first time I met you, you were emceeing, and I thought, fuck, that is how you do it. I've been doing it the other way. I've been sort of, you know, trying to make my material sound like banter and trying to make it look as if I was talking to the audience. I wasn't really, you know, and just watching you so free. Thanks, just chatting to the front row. And of course, bits of material come in because, you know, it's conversational stuff, but it doesn't matter. Just be charming and hopefully funny at some point. Don't pressurize yourself. And I learned that from people like you and Jared Christmas and, you know, Stephen Grant, you know, just thinking, this is a very different skill to what I've been learning. I did a stand-up course, you know, learning how to write and perform material. But emceeing is very different, isn't it? You know, and I'm talking to, you know, one of the best on the circuit. Do you do much of that now, or is it mainly sets you do?
It's sort of 50-50 now. It's 50-50. It's getting more. Yeah, I love to MC, but I also love to do a set. It's nice to have that. It's nice to finally feel like I'm being taken seriously as a comedian. You know, for years you get that, you feel like you're blagging it and you feel like people are doing you a favour. And it was only people feel sorry for you, so they give you a gig. And it was Simon at the Comedy Store that said, mate, we're not doing you a favour by having you here. You're here because you can do it. Now stop fucking about. Get on with it, you know, and it really opened my eyes. But, you know, you were like when you blew up, I mean, how did you find that? Did it change overnight? Was it a sudden thing?
Yeah, it was weird, you know, because I mean, I'm not trained as an actor either, you know, so.
Oh, really?
No. So I went straight from modeling.
Yeah, right.
So it was a weird transition because, you know, I turned up on set, you know, luckily it was only Hollyoaks, so it wasn't, you know, the RSC. So, I was the only person there who hadn't had any training. You know, they'd all done stage school or drama school or a drama degree at uni, whatever. So it was a bit daunting. I didn't know anything about the technical side of acting. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I was just being myself, but saying these words that they've given me to say kind of thing. So... And then the fame aspect does sort of just mess with your head, you know, because just suddenly being recognised and suddenly women who wouldn't look twice at you, you know, want to come over and say hello. You think, well, this isn't, I mean, I'm grateful. I will take advantage, but I know that you're not interested in me. It's just, you know, can I introduce you to someone better? You know what I mean? It's a bit of a weird thing and it does mess with your head a bit, you know.
And did you feel like your whole life was then being scrutinized? Like you were, wherever you went, you always felt like someone was watching you to see if you'd, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we were lucky. I was up in Liverpool for 4 years doing Hollyoaks, and the press don't really come up there, you know. And no one grasses on anyone in Liverpool, so you can get away with whatever you like. we were lucky, all that cast. We were so lucky that, you know, there was no social media. There were no camera phones then.
No, of course not.
So we got away with murder, not literally. But yeah, you do get scrutinised and you do think, bloody hell, I've just walked down the street and there's a picture of me picking my nose or whatever. I didn't know there was anyone here, you know. And when I came to London, I got that mall. And I've got a couple of mates who, became more famous, a lot more famous than me at the same time. So just hanging out with them, I was like, wow, I'm being papped sort of by association, really. It's weird.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know? And it's funny that people assume that actors, like, but they always go, oh, it's part of the job, it's part of the job. It's like, it isn't part of the job, is it? It's not, you don't sign up and go, right, I'm going to do this job, I'm going to be in this TV show. I now sign away my rights to privacy forever. You can have every bit of me, because it's not the case. And that causes so much strain. It must do.
Yes, it's weird. I mean, I grew up in Bristol and my biggest musical heroes were Massive Attack, because I went to see them when they first started out. And it was like, wow, you know, and just watched them rise. And I met them all and they're all nice guys and all that. And I was sort of surprised when they were saying, oh, no, we don't want to appear in our videos. We don't do any interviews, you know, we're never on telly. We don't want to be famous. And I was like, why not, you know? And you realize after a while, why not, you know? I mean, when I got sacked from SMTV and CDUK, you know, I couldn't go anywhere without anyone just giving me grief, you know, being a bit nasty, you know, or giving me loads of sympathy, which is weird, you know. I don't want to be looked down upon and given sympathy, you know, and I'm fine, you know. I wasn't.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, about as famous as I've got, you know, and that's nothing really compared to, you know, friends of mine who've had, you know, as you say, so much scrutiny.
Yeah. How did you feel when you got sacked? Was it, I mean, like you say, you were fine, but you know, it still can't have been very nice.
Horrible. I can't talk too much about it.
No, of course not.
But yeah, it was tough because I just, you know, left, I'd done one acting job, you know, for 4 years. And then I've been asked to change career and be a presenter, you know, and talk down the lens rather than kind of ignoring a camera, pretending it isn't there, you know, being myself rather than a character, and learning a script but not showing it, looking at an auto cue, you know, and meeting all these huge, like, you know, meeting Britney, you know, and live on telly. It's bizarre, you know. So it was an odd thing. I did 10 weeks of it on a 1 year contract and then got sacked, you know, because I wasn't right, you know. And Cat Deely, I didn't know Cat Deely was leaving, and her contract was up, and they went for a new team, you know. And it makes sense, but I was shocked. So I thought, wow, I've just been working really hard trying to get it right, you know. And you told me I was great, and now I've been sacked. So it was a shock mainly, and I was gutted, you know. But great experience, you know. I learned a lot about myself as well.
Yeah. Well, this is that's the thing about a lot about TV is that, they'll be telling you, you're amazing, you're the one, you're great. And then it just switches overnight. And that turning their back on you, more or less, going, no, it's this guy. No, are you still here? You need to pop off now.
Yeah.
There's no one in the world that could deal with that, I don't think. That brutality, really. And they go, oh, well, it's just how it is. And like, shouldn't be that way, really.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, obviously, I can't compare myself to, you know, Meghan, you know, or you know, what's happening with Harry and Meghan. But, but you know, I get it. You know, yes, they do press interviews. Yes, they go on telly and do stuff. But, you know, you don't actually want the negative side of it. You know, no. It's hard. You know, people sort of criticise big celebrities, proper ones. Well, you know, she's got her own fashion range and she talks about it loads, and, you know, and apparently she tips off the press that she's having a launch, so they come and pap everyone going in, you know. But still, you know, don't, you know, hack into a phone, you know, don't go through a bin. Don't try and create news that isn't really there, you know. Because as you say, you know, no one can deal with that. You know, it's going to damage you in the end.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I get one person sends me a message going, you're a wanker. Like, one person, every now and again. And he probably... from an SMTV account. It's weird. That upsets me for weeks. And I'm like, why? Because I've not done anything. I'm just doing what I do. And I'm not saying, this isn't me comparing you or me to you or Meghan and anyone else. I mean, I'm just saying that, even with what I do, so you get a bit of attention from the people listening. They go, mate, I used to like you, but you're a bit of a wanker. What you said the other day. And it throws me. So you magnify that by thousands.
Yes.
That's a mob. And that's a mob that turn around and go, we don't like you. Yeah. That's horrible. How do you deal with that?
You know, and we're blokes. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're not women. Women get it a lot worse. Like, my ex, you know, was on Hollyoaks, and... She's got an Instagram account, but it's not one of those sort of showy offy ones, you know. And she puts stuff to promote what she's doing, you know, charity stuff and telly stuff. And she put this thing up with her on this big storyline on the show, and she must have got, you know, 1,000 likes and, you know, 200 comments. You know, one of them said, "Oh, you've got no tits," and that is what you know she stuck with her. And she was like, "Oh my God, why would you? I'm not saying I've got great. Why are you? It's about a storyline, which is quite." Interesting, you know, and it's going to help people. And oh my God, and she was gutted for weeks, you know, about it. And you just think, oh, that's one, probably a 12-year-old kid, you know, let me just try and get some response from this celebrity. You know, you're following this celebrity, so why are you being nasty to them?
Yeah, exactly. Jade got it. Jade had this, she'd made a comment about Little Mix. And it wasn't really horrible. It was just that one of them had put this selfie up of her in the golden hour, you know, when the sun's just right. But then the writing underneath was like, just want to shine a light on mental health. Or, you know, something. And you go, and then Jade went, I just think you want to post a hot selfie, babes. And that was it. And she got death threats from this one person. They're going, and it was a picture of the same woman from Little Mix holding a gun.
Wow.
And going, right, we're going to get you. And it turns out it was a little girl in the Philippines.
Wow.
Which is insane. Just, yeah.
Which Jade could probably take, you know.
Just run at her, yeah.
There was a great story, wasn't there, a while back about a professional boxer. I think he was like a middleweight boxer, proper tough fella. And he got loads of abuse because he'd lost some big bout, whatever. And he tracked the guy down. Did you read about it? And it was
Yes, I did.
He videoed himself turning up at the guy's house. The guy was like, oh, I was just joking. And he was like, oh, come out and talk to me. He's dead. Come and find you. Come out and talk to me. And he goes, like that. Amazing.
And that's what, and that's the thing. People forget that they're hiding behind these screens. And actually, there is a person at the other end of that. You're not, yeah.
you're not fictional. You know,
no, exactly.
We're real people, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And it, you know, and when we were setting this up the other day, we were messaging back and forth, and you'd mentioned that, you know, you'd had some counselling yourself, and which I think everybody should have, regardless of where you're at, where your mental health is at. I think at some point you should just go and talk to someone, just to recalibrate yourself, realign yourself.
Yeah,
you know. And
most of us have it, you know. I mean, I was lucky. I played a psychiatric nurse for 6 years on casualty.
Mm.
I hate talking about that. I never mention it.
Never comes up.
And it was fascinating just learning so much stuff, man. And you know, I spoke to the real Charlie Fairhead, you know, the guy that the character's based on.
Really?
Because Charlie was a psychiatric nurse who did all his exams and became a senior staff nurse, right? So I was the new junior.
Okay.
Charlie. So I spoke to this guy, and he was just such a dude. And he said, look, most people get counseling and don't know it. Because if you're down, you speak to your partner or your parents or your best mates or whoever it is, you know. It's when you can't do that because you're too ashamed, or that person is too macho, won't talk to you.
Yeah.
That's when problems start, you know, and they can just build and build.
Yeah.
So therapy isn't a dirty word. It's what we all do most of the time anyway.
Yeah, true.
It's just, you know, if you're, for example, in lockdown, having rows with your missus a lot, you're having no sleep because of the baby, mm-hmm. you know, it helps to go off and chat to your mate and go, for fuck's sake, you know.
Yeah.
Or to someone who doesn't know her, like she probably does, you know, and, you know, yeah. slags me off, you know, and gets it off her chest, you know.
Yeah.
And then gets told, you know, we're all in the same boat. That's all. That's happening to all of us. You're not weird. You know, he's not weird. Just get through it. You know, you feel better, don't you?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. There's that, just that, just getting it out of your head. It just out, wherever it needs to go, just out. It's the, you know, people talk about taking the pressure off.
Yeah.
It's so important, because you don't realise the illnesses that it does create in you. Like, and just like, I had a bad back for ages, and I couldn't work it out why. And it turns out I keep all my stress in my lower back and my shoulders. Yeah. So I'm walking around with just this ache, this pain. But then I started to talk to people and I could feel it loosening. I'm like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
And people don't realise that. It does manifest physically if you don't go and talk to someone, you know.
It really does. You know, and what's encouraging is that, you know, people like you are talking about men's mental health now, and it's more prevalent in the media, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And you realise, God, these hugely talented, charismatic people, you know, and they're depressed at times. They all suffer. You think, bloody, they're really successful. And everyone loves them, but they're down a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And it happens to everyone. It can happen to anyone, you know. And I think isn't it the most common complaint that a GP hears? It's not, I've got the flu. It's, I'm feeling depressed, you know.
Yeah.
Which is encouraging, really, that people do go and talk about it. But it just shows you that it's all part of health. It's not, you know, it's not separate mental health, you know.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're all fundamentally the same. Doesn't matter what you do as a career or what you surround yourself with. At the end of the day, you know, you came out the same as everybody else, and you have the same makeup as everybody else, and you know, certain chemicals sometimes need topping up, and things need shifting around, and what's happening now is because a lot of people are still scared to come forward, and not come forward, but they're still scared to open up.
Yeah.
And now it's getting to a point, because there's a lot of self-help books and DVDs, and everyone, you know, there's this podcast where we're all trying to get things going. But now there's a swing of like, oh, this again. Oh, God, I'm fine. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to get on with my life. And, you know, and it's now we're trying to push through that to just say, no, you really do need to talk to someone. And it isn't a sign of weakness.
Of course. I mean, I had a bit of a sort of revelatory moment. I had some therapy. I was going through my divorce. This is 2006, and I saw this brilliant therapist. I was lucky because I was on the show at the time that I may have mentioned earlier. And, Pete Salter's name is the guy who Charlie's based on. And he said, look, I could help you. I could chat to you. But I'm 60, mate. Why don't you talk to my friend who I think is the best young shrink in Bristol, right? And he's your age and he's just gone through a divorce.
Brilliant.
And he was amazing. And he just said to me, like, after a few weeks, he said, look, James, you are fine, you know. We're all going through stuff and this is natural. You've getting divorced, you basically sign a contract saying for 18 months at least, I'll be down. That's what we all have to do, you know, whether you left them or they left you. And he said, look, I can charge you the same money every week if you want and just repeat the same stuff. But you know now, right, there are two types of depression, right? There's nature and nurture, right? So if it's nurtured stuff, it's stuff that's happened to you, you know, terrible, traumatic things. You know, going through a divorce isn't one of the worst ones, but it's quite tough, you know.
Yeah.
Natural stuff is harder to deal with, that sort of, you know, chemical imbalance and all that kind of stuff. And if you've got propensity to be depressed, you know, you haven't, James, you know, but you do feel depressed when you wake up in the morning, right? Which is quite common. And he said, when you go to bed, do you feel suicidal? I said, no. He said, right. So in those 8 hours, what's changed? Have you heard any bad news about a loved one? No. Have you lost your job? No. Have you been left? No. So what's happened? Any news? No. So therefore, you know, it's just something in your brain's just changed. There's a sort of chemical that's not being released, or, you know, one that is being released. So just double check with yourself. Have you exercised in the last 48 hours? Did you get your heart rate up and, you know, and all that? Have you eaten lots of shit? Have you done, you know, too much drinking or eaten too much sugar or, you know, other stuff, whatever? Have you slept enough? It's probably one of those things. And it always is with me, you know. Yeah. I know that I have a really shit day, but go for a run and feel better, you know, better than I would do, you know. And he said, that's kind of what life's about, really, is just learning that, you know, if it was a physical injury, you know, and you were told, okay, right, you've damaged your arm, but you can get full use of it back if you avoid these things and do those things, right? So here's your physio, but don't do that stuff, okay, right? Within 6 weeks, you'd be doing it every day and you get your arm back, you know.
Mm.
Because of mental health, we go, oh, yeah, sure, I should see a therapist, you know, I shouldn't drink. I should go for a run, you know.
Yeah.
I shouldn't do those drugs, whatever it is, you know. And we go, sure. And we just don't do it. So it's a weird thing that people are kind of afraid or ashamed to do the stuff that's just physio for your brain.
Yeah, yeah. That is the best way that someone's put it across. You've really put it into a. I'm just gobsmacked at that. I'm like, of course. Yeah, all of that you've just said just makes perfect sense.
Yeah, well, I'm just quoting somebody else, but I checked that. I was on a long trip with Paul Sinner, and of course he was a GP, wasn't he? And he's quite a bright bloke, I hear. Quite a bright fella.
And he's doing all right. Yeah, he's doing. He loves a quiz.
Yeah, yeah, he knows quite a lot, doesn't he? He was saying, yeah, and he went into more detail on that. And he was just saying, yeah, it's all hormonal stuff, you know, it's serotonin and, you know, endorphins and all that. All that stuff can change everything, you know, and it's just forcing yourself. So, you know, our mums, when they said to us, look, stop being so miserable, get outside, get some fresh air, go for a run around and calm down, they were right, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm the same. I'm exactly the same. I've spent the last few weeks, I had a bit of a wobble a couple of weeks ago because I was doing a part-time job and it had finished and I panicked a bit and then I'm, oh God. And then you start to, oh God, I'm never going to work again. I'm shit at everything. Oh, fuck. And you know, you kind of fall apart a bit. But I reached out and people reached back and went, well, come and do this then. Come and do that. And then I immersed myself in the podcast as I've been doing and other things. And suddenly I could feel myself lifting up again. But then I was waking up in the morning and I'm going, oh, what's the point? But it's because I'd been in all day. I'd just been looking at a screen. I'd been eating shit, not necessarily drinking anything like that, but I hadn't been eating good things. I hadn't been out for a walk.
Exactly.
And you're right. It's that when you just need to just go out for a bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so straightforward, isn't it? I mean, you know, I tell myself this when I'm feeling down, you know, like my girlfriend was at her mum's for a few days recently because she's allowed to, you know, because we've got a baby. child support and all that. But the first course, the first 2 days, bliss.
Yeah.
Had a lot of porn to catch up on. I could do what I wanted, you know. But after that, I was just so down, you know. And, you know, I did struggle to get out of bed in the morning. I think I've got nothing really to do. I've got a few bits of paperwork and some writing that I should get round to. But if I do it all today, I've got nothing to do for ages.
Yeah.
So just do one little thing a day so I feel like I've achieved something. And get outside, force yourself, just go for a 10-minute walk, right?
Yeah.
You can do longer than that, great. If you can jog, even better, whatever it is, you know. And you know, James, you know for a fact, you, stop being a prick. You know you'll feel better. Oh, you want to feel down, don't you? You want to feel down and all alone. Well, just, you know, admit that or fucking cheer up, mate, you know. Of course, I'm talking to me and not someone else who's had, you know, big traumas happen, whatever. And we've all got to deal with our own stuff, you know, so you can't judge anyone else on their situation. But that helps me massively.
Yeah. And did you feel, like you said, you know, you followed a psychiatric nurse around for however long it was. So you must have, like you said, you picked up quite a bit from following them around as well. So that must be quite handy to have those tools to hand, especially now with the year we've just had.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it was just amazing. I followed some nurses. I did some shadowing, it's called, isn't it? In the acting world, I shadowed some real nurses on a night shift. When I first got the job on the show, you know, I got it because I was on Hollyoaks and I'd done SMTV, you know, because of my profile, really. You know, like, I thought, great, I'm a fucking great actor. You know, doing Hollyoaks, you think, oh, okay, I'm not very good. But, you know, just make it last as long as possible. And then you get another job and go, fucking hell, I actually can act, right?
Yeah.
And then the first week, the boss said, don't get me wrong, we love you and we see potential, but, you know, you're not the best actor yet, you know. Okay. So work on that. And you're not a nurse. We don't believe you as a nurse or a shrink. So go and shadow these people. So I went and did a weekend shift, Friday and Saturday, with these nurses. Fuck, they work so hard.
Mm.
And everyone's pissed. You know, the whole place is full of people who have got hurt because they were drunk, you know, or they've drunk on their meds, or they've drunk and then forgotten to take their meds, you know, and it's really scary, you know. And you see these shrinks or these psychiatric liaison nurses, and they're so patient and so charming, and they just do an amazing job, the way that they sort of calm people down and just gently just try and say the same stuff that I've been saying to you now, because it's all, you know, a cycle. People just, you know, they're doing well for a few weeks. They have some bad news. They fuck it.
Yeah.
And they, you know, a whole cake, feel bad about themselves, get pissed, forget to take their meds, or they're not on meds. And then they freak out and they hurt someone or hurt themselves, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really shone a light this year as well on how hard our nurses and everybody, that how hard they work and what they have to deal with. And while the rest of us have been sitting indoors going, oh, you know, I mean, it's been shit. You know, we've lost work and other people have lost more than work. They've lost loved ones and things like that.
Yeah.
But the majority of us have been sitting around a lot just going, oh, I'm just bored. I'm bored. I want to do so. I want to go out. And yeah, these poor fuckers have been frontline.
Yeah.
Dealing with, they've been I know this sounds really probably very dramatic, but, you know, looking in the jaws of death and,
yeah.
Well, we're going, oh, Netflix is shit, isn't it? We've watched it all. And,
yeah.
You know, and then to top it all, the government have gone, oh, no, we're not going to give you a pay rise, but we're going to stand on the balcony and we're going to bang some pots at you. Yeah, exactly. And so to add insult to injury, they're already knackered and now we're patronising them.
Yeah. Sorry, can I have thank you for clapping, but can I have a mask? Can I have a mask, please? Because everyone with COVID is coming up to my face saying, I'm really ill. I'm going, yeah, okay. I haven't got a mask because we've run out of masks. Yeah. So, yeah, just rather than clapping, just buy some more masks for us.
Yeah. Or just make the car park free for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's costing me 25 quid a day. Any chance we could have that, you know? And it really, it's embarrassing. I find it embarrassing.
And we're so lucky in this country to have the NHS. You know, it doesn't matter what political party you're affiliated to. How lucky are we to have that? It's a basic human right, I think. They haven't got it in America, you know.
No.
First world country, you know, supposedly, you know, leading the world. They haven't got it there, you know, and we're so lucky to have it here. We need to protect it, you know. And
oh, absolutely.
I mean, just going back to one of those nights that I shadowed this nurse, right? She got punched in the face twice by a bloke, right?
Right.
So we were in the reception, and this big bloke, he was about 6'4", and heavy. And he was going crazy, swearing and shouting and whatever, flailing his fist. And his girlfriend was bruised and crying and stuff. And we were all sort of panicking. And I was told, look, do not come anywhere near anyone, you know, because legally you can't. You're just watching, you know.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, fighting everyone. And his girlfriend was saying, look, he's bipolar and diabetic. He hasn't taken his meds and he's pissed and he's done some coke.
You know? Oh, my God.
Oof. And he's freaking out. But I've got him here. So please just do what you can, right? So they had about 8 blokes hold him down. And this nurse just tranquilized him, you know. And then an hour or two later, he came to and he was in floods of tears saying, I'm so sorry. Did I punch you, mate? I was like, no. You might want to say sorry to her, though. Oh, my God, did I punch a woman? Oh, my God. Sorry. He went over and he was in floods of tears. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so stupid. And she was like, don't worry, love. See you again next week. We will see you again next week, she said.
Oh.
Amazing. She was so calm about it all, you know.
Yeah. See, it takes a special kind of person.
Yeah.
To be that. It's like she didn't just cancel him. She just go, do you know what? You're done, mate. You're done.
Yeah. Someone else can deal with you.
Yeah. She shrugged it off and she just went, it's all right. I get it. Yeah. That is a special kind of human being to have that in them. I don't know. I'd like to think I'd be like that, but no.
We couldn't do it.
No.
You'd be. We could pretend to do it. Pretend to do it for, you know, a bit of filming.
Yeah. Yeah. In that thing you're in that you were.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, going back to what you were saying about your partner, and again, this last year has put a strain on the finest of partnerships. You know, everybody, you're not meant to be together 24/7. You're just not. Even when things aren't the way they are now, there's time apart. You're doing things, and it doesn't mean you don't love each other. You're just doing things. That's nature.
Yeah.
And it's been funny. Like I've been staying at a mate's house because Jade and I the flat's not very big. We've got a lot of stuff. We'd already been having couples counselling beforehand. So, you know, so this just added like petrol to the fire. And it's funny because you do know that they need to go and talk to someone about what they're going through. But it doesn't mean they don't love you.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm going to fucking kill him. He's like, why? What was he doing? He was just cleaning his teeth the other day, but he had the door open and I could hear him coughing and I just wanted to put a toothbrush through his head.
Sarah, you know, imagine that, right? Because, you know, we got pregnant, we.
Sarah, I love it when people say that.
Yeah, I was fine. I dealt very well with being pregnant. I didn't complain at all.
Because you're a top legend, mate.
but the plan was to move from her one bedroom flat to my two bedroom flat, which has got two bathrooms. Brilliant, perfect, you know. And then 2 months before that was going to happen, lockdown, could not move. We were stuck in. So I went and moved in with her in her one bedroom place, you know. So she's full of hormones, you know, trying to work from home still. With, you know, lanky, sweaty prick over here, you know, complaining, oh, I'm really bored. I completed Netflix.
Yeah, I don't have my things.
I would go for a run, but it's dangerous because the pavements are so busy. You know, and she said to me, you know, she said, look, James, I do love you, but I just can't at the moment stand the sight of you, the sound of you, the smell of you or the touch of you. So please, just fuck off anywhere.
Yeah. It was like Dylan Moran once said. He said, it's weird that the amount of space that they need is the exact same height, depth and breadth as you.
Yeah, that's the spell. Well, the thing is, you can't miss someone when they're next to you, can you? Like, can't go... Like, you know, we're lucky, you know, we get to, you know, Jade is too, you know, we all get to sort of travel around a bit. You get to go and see a different city most days, you know. Yeah. And you miss your partner. And you've got pictures of your partner on your phone.
Yeah.
But you don't look at them now because they're right next to you. You can't miss them now because they're there.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. And they're fucked off as
they're
well.
They're there all the fucking time.
All the fucking breathing, for fuck's sake.
What was funny as well is that Jade did a thing the other day. She was recording this stand-up special for TV. And she said, can you just run through it with me to make sure it's all right and it's bits and bobs? And I went, sure, of course I can. And she went, I'm going to tell you now, there's some bits about you in it, but I don't mean it. Fine. So I'm reading it, and I'm like, but it was really, some of it was quite brutal. And I had to really steel myself to not get upset.
Micro cock.
Well, it was things like that. It was like, oh, you're just sitting around cupping his balls, watching the TV, and I'm like, I didn't do that. Did I do that? I wasn't doing that. But I had to really, really hold it down and go, no, it's just comedy. We're just using this so that she can connect with the people watching, and they'll go, yeah, my partner does that, you know.
But have you dated a comedian before?
Not like this. I for a little while, but not like this.
So this is probably payback from you talking about them.
She said that because I was talking about the couples counselling before all this happened. But it was more about me, because she was saying, don't keep telling people we're on a break, because right. you know, you might end up having sex with somebody else, and so the joke is but I just
bloody mentioned it and someone just shagged me. It's a fucking nightmare.
Next thing I know I'm conkers deep, and it was funny that I'm like, because the joke is, it's like, well, what do you think happens to this when it leaves the house? You're like, I'm not covered in women. They don't just fling themselves at me. And that was the joke. But hers seemed a bit more harsh. And I realised, I'm like, yeah, this is like a therapy session almost now. And you have to remove yourself from it and say, yeah, it is about me, but it's not about me. It's about the situation in general. And
that's what makes it funny, because it's observational, so people can laugh and go, that's, you know, not say it, or say it. That is exactly what you're like, you fucking prick, you know. Close the door when you and also close your mouth when you're eating, for fuck's sake, you know. This is, you know.
But that's the other thing as well, isn't it? It shines a light on your own failings, is it? You don't realise you're doing it, you know, like that, you know, flatulence and you know, you go, oh yeah, I shouldn't do that as I'm walking across the TV. That's kind of rude.
It isn't funny to do a Dutch oven. You're right. It isn't. Yeah. I'm 49. It isn't funny. You're right.
See, I'm the same as well. And are you? I'll be 50 in January. And so
I'm November. So I'm 2 months older than you.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling about it, really?
Well, I mean, some of it is all right, isn't it? You know, like I don't mind the grey whisk. I mean, I've cut this short, you know, with the clippers, you know, to get rid of the wisdom highlights. But the other stuff, you know, like constantly having wet balls, always now. I'll have a shower, get out, dry myself, put some pants on, and go, how the fuck am I dribbling already? For fuck's sake. You know, and at first I sort of put up with it. I'd go, look, it's just part of getting older. Just get used to it, you know. And then I can smell it on myself. I'm like, I smell a piss. I'm not a pensioner. I can smell piss on myself, you know.
But I think a lot.
One of these days. So now I'm changing my pants, Rich, at least once a day. Right? Sometimes twice a day. So I've got three different pairs of pants on in one day.
I mean, have you got a hole somewhere? Is there a leak? Do you need? Are you punctured?
And I actually spoke to a GP about it, and he said, oh, yeah, that's just getting older, right? He said, yeah, there are basically, I don't know why I'm telling you this, there are two reservoirs, right? One is sort of the base of your penis, right, underside, and one is behind your balls, right? So he was saying, basically just sort of ring those two little sort of reservoirs where, you know, urine can collect, right?
Right.
We can cut this bit.
No. This is, when we talk about mental health, it's like, this all helps, because there'll be people listening going, so that's what that is. I thought I was just a leaky old man.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, so just sort of wring those out, you know, and then you should be fine. And then I went back, you know, a few years later, I said, you know, it helped a little bit, but still, if I bend down or if I reach for something, I can feel drops coming out. He goes, yeah, well, the same again. After having a piss, just bend down, reach for things. Like, what, in the bath? Yeah, just have it. Just do all the stuff that normally crouch down, whatever it is that, right. I've got to do that every fucking time now.
It's just now a thing that you do in your life.
And also, I now sit down for a piss, always.
I do.
Because I've got no idea if it's going to be a piss or a shit. I go, right, I definitely need a piss. Almost always, I go, oh, yeah, look, number two as well. I did not spot that coming. I started sitting down because I was spraying so much. I think, fuck, why am I... Normally, I'll spray after sex and that is it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But now it's happening a lot, and this is my bathroom. It's not, you know, a pub toilet. It's a bathroom, my own bathroom, which now stinks of piss, right?
Yeah.
So I started sitting down, you know, but now I've got to do it for the other reason too. It's like, well, no, I may have a shit. I don't feel like I need a shit, but I do need a shit.
There you never go.
Turns out a massive shit. Didn't know.
Well, I think that's the other thing as well. I don't know why men don't sit down. I don't know why to this day... Men, I have this conversation all the time, and people listening to this now will go, you've said this before. I go, yeah, I have, because it's a thing that I'm still having to talk about, because men still see it as unmasculine to sit down.
Like, yeah.
Sit down. You're getting it everywhere. You're getting it everywhere. And I don't
your own house.
In your own house. Or just piss against the fridge and have done with it.
Yeah.
You might as well.
And the reason I mention that is because I remember you did a bit of material about having to only wear dark coloured pants now, like since you turned 40, I think. You were saying,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
My white pants just went. I was like, yes, I went in the bin last week. No more Vanish on my white pants every fucking wash. Get rid of them. The black ones don't need it.
Exactly. I remember that. There was that moment. Yeah, that the white. I don't own any white underwear anymore. It's all. I don't need to. I don't need that stress.
Jeans, man. Fucking skinny jeans, mate. You know what I mean? Like baggy jeans don't smell of urine. Skinny jeans, one fucking wear. You're like, for fuck's sake. I'm going to wash. I've got 7 pairs of jeans just to have a week's worth of going out.
You don't have to line them like a bin liner. Just to... Delicious. That's lovely. Oh man. So do you have any? I was saying to you about getting older. I don't know how I feel. I'm having this weird. I have these weird thoughts about turning 50. I feel part of me's like, well, that's it. It's all over. But it isn't. I see my parents. My dad's 75. He still wears cowboy boots. He still goes out and does what he wants. And you're like, oh, yeah, it doesn't. Why am I worried? What am I worrying about? I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's that feeling of, even though I'm with Jade and I'm not interested in anybody else, but I suppose it's that feeling, that worry that you're unattractive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you're not, mate. You're a very handsome, a very stylish man.
You. So are you. Shall we? We'll end up together, you and I.
Well, you know, I mean, if only that were, you know, I mean, perhaps some hormones, you know, just to feel more attracted, you know. I often think about you, Rich, to be honest. When I saw you, last time I saw you was you were cycling up North London's steepest hill. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. On the one
I was walking down it. I felt very, very emasculated. can't stop. I was like, please stop. Please stop. Okay, I'll stop. Not out of breath. I'm fine. Not sweating.
I think you'll find I was actually pushing my bike up that hill. I'd got as far as I could, and then as I just stopped, you appeared from behind a tree.
Oh, really?
I hadn't seen you, and you appeared. You
having a sit down piss. I was just putting that through. Yeah,
I was trying to style it out and be all cool, so it might have looked like I wasn't out of breath. I was actually in absolute turmoil within, trying to keep it cool. Oh my god, there's James. Shit, hold it together. Breathe in. Yeah. Well, that's what I miss. I mean, I haven't done that for ages. I used to be out all the when I lived in Crouch End. I was always off up Hampstead Heath and for some reason when we moved out to Leon Sea, and we're right on the river, we're right on the estuary where it goes out to sea. It's a beautiful walk. And
yeah, I'm jealous, man.
Yeah, in this last year I haven't done it. It's been
really
every now and again, but I don't know, the worry of, you know, if not catching something, giving it to someone, so if I don't know I've got it. And
grass is greener, isn't it? Because I look at your Instagram and you know, when my hands aren't in view when I look at your Instagram, I'm just sort of, you know, just on my own, just late at night under the covers. But I'm jealous of, you know, because you've got, you know, the river, or are you on the coast as well?
Yeah, well, it's on the coast where Southend is. So
yeah, it's called Leon Sea, James. So yes, it is.
But it is. It's where the Thames, where we can actually see where the Thames goes out to sea. So
you've got a river and you've got the sea.
It's wonderful. It is a wonderful place. Yeah, we have been very lucky, and that's the view out of the window.
Amazing.
So, you know, you can't complain. It's just that the flat's tiny, And if I don't, if I turn around from the sea, there's hatred and violence just behind me. So, you know, it's quite the juxtaposition.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. But thing is, I mean, I'm jealous of that, but I guess you're jealous that I've got, you know, more going on. I can walk. I'm lucky. I can come out of my front door here and the pavement isn't busy. You know, and I've got Camden Market there, which is closed. Yeah. But I've got, you know, I've got a supermarket where people do wear masks. You know, I'm lucky. I've got the Heath. I've got Hampstead Heath. I can go on, you know, if I fancy some cock.
some piss stained cock.
Can I just check? Are you under 50? Okay, great. Yeah. Drop it. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Pop in. Pop it in. But yeah, so it's funny, isn't it? Because the grass is greener, isn't it? You know, we all think, oh God, I've got it worst here, you know, whatever. But we're all struggling. And encouraging news, though, you know, I think by the summer should be back to normal. And sounds like we'll be sort of springing back into work again and all that. So
yeah, I hope so. I think we're on the way out now. Now that the vaccinations are happening, and you know, and yeah, I think it gets to a point as well. You see someone like Ian Brown and people like that, and they're all, oh, I'm not being vaccinated. I don't care. It's all a thing. And you know, I don't care if this is what Bill Gates wants to do.
Yeah.
Then have at it, mate. I don't care. As long as I can go out and oh, you're a sheep. You're becoming a sheep. You know.
I saw that because I'm a big fan of Ian Brown. You know, yeah. I'm sure you are. And yeah, it's sort of disappointing, isn't it, when sort of heroes of yours just suddenly have a different political opinion? Like Morrissey, I was a huge fan.
Oh yeah, of course.
And now I can listen to the Smiths. I've allowed myself up to sort of, you know, You Are the Quarry.
Yes.
I'm allowed to listen to it. Beyond that, I don't like that music. It's the same music, James. There are two or three tracks that are actually better than it. No, but no, I can't because he's. I can't. No, no, sorry.
I said the same thing there. I'm like, you can't turn your back on Johnny Marr and the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
It's just not
Michael
fair.
Jackson. Michael Jackson, you know, I mean, I'm not a huge Michael Jackson fan, but what a talent. And if stuff comes on, I think, well, you should listen to it because of, you know, Rod Temple and
Quincy Jones, yeah.
But, you know, you think, fuck, this is all just changed, sort of fucked with my head now. Yeah. You know, what is the right thing to do? But yeah, Ian Brown, man. I get what he's doing. I mean, you know, my parents are approaching 80 now, and my dad's not been well. And they've just had their first jab, you know, but Sarah's parents, bit younger, and her dad's not sure. And like, she's saying, look, you've had cancer and you're 70. Mm. You've got teenage boys who are going to school next week, have the jab. And he's going, no, I'm not sure about it. You know, I'm not sure. So I'm going to wait a few months, see what happens. That use the rest of the world as a sort of guinea pig.
Right, and see what happens.
And, you know, that's his prerogative. And I don't know how I'd feel if I were him, you know, because I had the flu jab like 5 years ago and felt ill for a week. I thought, well, I'll never get ill, really. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I'm quite sporty. You know, I don't need to really have this. So I stopped taking it. But I will take this corona jab, you know. But it's their right, you know, if they don't want to take it, fine. But just don't spread it around if you get it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? It's about, I think people are forgetting the fact that the reason we wear masks is to protect others. It's not about us. You know, we had Garrett Millerick on. Garrett Millerick was on, and he made a really good point in saying, you know, the press and everybody, that when they talked about masks, they made a mistake of saying, you know, it's for other people. If you'd have said, this is to protect you, like, people would have four of them on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a shame, isn't it? That is a shame that, you know.
But also, I mean, that the other thing is that it's to protect. The main reason isn't even about corona. The main reason is about other illnesses that the NHS are supposed to be helping with, you know. Mm. They're trying to help people who've got, you know, cancer or whatever. Suddenly, 1,000 people come in with this minor thing. You know, I can't really breathe that well. Quick. Let's help them, and they're flooded and they can't cope with it. So actually the main thing is, you know, deaths from other things, with the NHS just understaffed and, you know, swamped, really, isn't it?
Yeah. So, yeah, true, man. Yeah.
I mean, was it Noel Gallagher said, you know, I'm not wearing a mask, I'll take my chances. But it's not your chances, mate. It's everyone's chances, you know.
Exactly.
And it'll spread. It'll be someone that you don't know, you know, in a different country who's going to die.
Yeah.
Because you caught it and gave it to someone else. Went on and on and on, and they didn't even, they've got something else. They haven't caught that from you. They're in there getting their treatment for something else.
Yeah.
And they haven't been seen in time, and they've died, you know?
Yeah, true. Do you feel now you've got your little one, do you feel, has your worldview changed? I know mine did. It suddenly felt more beautiful that my sons were in it, but then I was more worried. Like, you know, you've and this has happened as, you know, when they've arrived, you know. And how do you feel about that? Does it scare you?
She's only six months old. She doesn't go out much, so I haven't really. She met one other baby. There's this app, right? Called what's it called? I forgot what it's called. But Sarah's on this app. It's like a dating app, right?
Yeah.
For new mums, okay, and it's just like Tinder, apparently, right? You've got like, we're just by Hampstead Heath, so you've got like the Camden and Hampstead app, whatever. Excuse me. And and you sort of swipe left or right, you know. She looks all right and she's got similar taste and interest as me. She's not a Tory. Great. Okay. I'll sort of, yes on her, whatever, you know. And then you go for walks. So Sarah's been going for a walk with this woman every day, you know. And so Maya's met one other baby and that's it. She's met her grandparents on one side and her aunt, and that is it. And that's, you know, in between lockdowns. So haven't really seen her out in the world proper yet. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Suddenly you've got this so delicate thing that you think, oh, all I want to do is just, it's a different kind of love, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I do love my partner. I do love Jurgen Klopp. But this new thing is just more important. I just so delicate.
Yeah.
And you feel sort of grateful. Wow, you've chosen me. I'm not very good at this. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but now I've got to learn for you, you know, and try and protect you.
Yeah.
You know, and make sure that you don't bounce out of the chair and land on your face again, you know. Oh.
I saw that the other day. I was out. I did have a walk along the canal and there was a baby in the pram and the guy was trying to push it up this cobbled ramp and it got caught and the baby slid out the back of the pram and on its head. And the shriek that the mum let out was awful. And the guy was just, so she scooped the baby up and she shot the ramp and she kept looking at the dad like he was the most evil man on the planet. And I was sat there with a coffee and I'm just like, oh, poor sod. The dad was, honestly, he was just ashen and he didn't know what to do. And it was, and I was like, oh my God. And I've done that. I remember being, doing a thing by accident. And poor fucker.
Same thing with it. Ready? I mean, I'm just describing what happened. You know, she was in a little rocking chair, which has got like a strap on it, and we were feeding her, and she started puking up. So quick, okay, take the strap off and make sure it doesn't choke. And while I'm going to grab some tissue, she bounces forward on her face. Fuck, you know.
Yeah.
And cuts on her face and all this. Oh, it was so. And you're just in shock, you know. You know, you don't know what to do. You know, we're both sort of screaming our heads off. Of course, she's smiling, going, "What's going on? I'm fine. I've got a couple of scratches, but I was just bouncing because I'm not choking. I'm fine, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
And they're sturdier than you think, but it's a different feeling, isn't it? Just hits you in the heart. I am in control of this person not dying, you know, and trying to help them make their way in the world. That's next, I guess, you know.
But what happens is you put all this effort in, and they are, and but then they hit this phase where, like, they're just annoyed with you. They're just like, "Oh, I can do it, Dad. I can do it. I've got it." And you're like, I've just been looking after you all this time. I've been here, and then when they hit the teenage years, that's, I know everyone says that, but it's a really weird vibe, because my youngest, especially, I had this with him. So he used to come over to my house at weekends, and every Sunday I'd have the battle of trying to get him in the car to take him back to his mum's. And every now and again, I say, "All right, you can stay tonight. We've got to get up really early in the morning so we can take you to school." But so it's always this, it's like, "I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I love you, Daddy," and hanging on. And then you're putting him in. Yeah, and it was heartbreaking. And you're putting him into bed and stroking his head. And you're like, "I'm never going to leave you. We're still cool. We're still cool." And then one day, they'll go, "Oh, I'm not coming over, Dad. I'm going out." Or, "Stop hassling me, Dad." And the heartbreak that I felt from that.
Can we make it monthly, Dad? Fucking hell.
Yeah. Do you really need me to come over? And it's all part of it. They're becoming adults and independent, and they start doing their thing. And so with my sons now, I say, "Look, I haven't spoken to you. I feel really bad. Are you all right?" Like, "Dad, I'm busy. I've got shit to do. I've got time to worry about you old fart." You know, and with that, you go, "Oh, they're good. They're all right." Yeah. But it's still a wrench, man.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, Maya's just about to turn 7 months, you know, so the most I've got is if I try and get her to say Dada, You know, I go, dada, dada, dada. She goes, mama. Like the same with Sarah. She'll be saying mama. And she goes, dada, whatever. And then when I put her to bed, you know, I'll sort of feed her and then try and rock her to sleep. And then she'll fall asleep on my shoulder like that. But she won't just fall asleep. She'll just start going quiet and then just slap me in the face.
Yeah, right.
Just over and over again while she's falling asleep. I'm like, okay, don't react. Don't punch her back. Just let her sleep. So that's as far as we've got. So, but yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I can see because, you know, being 49 and becoming a dad, you know, I've had decades of going, fuck, I don't want to see this person's kids' pictures. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I don't give a shit. My nieces, yes. You know, if someone's got a very cute and funny kid, yes. But otherwise, I don't. I'm not in that headspace. I don't. Oh, no. Yeah, lovely. Beautiful. Yeah, really. Yeah, just like you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did they? Really funny. Yeah, great. Really bright. Yeah, very bright. But as soon as it happens to you, you're like, oh, my God, this person is so bright and so funny and so beautiful. So I've got to try and stop sending pictures to everyone in my phone.
Yeah, but it's just what will happen as well as you'll start to realize that everybody you know is a parent. Everybody you know is now, that's all they talk about are the kids.
Yeah.
And it's a change from, you know, us running around and doing what we want when we want. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just happening now. I mean, you know, because obviously we've been locked down and Maya's only 6 months old. So it happened for the first time yesterday, right? I went, oh my God, the Specials have got a tour. Fucking hell, yeah. They're playing Bristol and the tickets have not sold out yet. The rest of the tour sold out. Got to get two tickets. It's Bank Holiday weekend in August. And Sarah went, no. What do you mean no? Well, no, we can't, can we? Yeah, well, of course we just get a babysitter. No, James, we can't do that because it's in Bristol and we live in London. But my parents, yeah, but we don't know for sure yet if they're going to be fine with that yet, with the vaccine. Yeah, yeah, but it's the Specials. So no, James, we might be on holiday, but not that weekend, we won't be. I had to sort of just go, fucking hell, it's not about me anymore.
No.
My priorities are not, they're like tertiary, not even secondary now, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's quite the best will in the world. It doesn't mean you're an arsehole. It just you're like, I've got but I really want to do that thing, and it's like you've got to do this now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got this mate of mine who I mentioned earlier. Reza is just really funny, and when he's quite blunt. When he had his first kid, you know, he was out a lot, big party boy, you know. And I invited him out to something. He went, is it in 18 years? I said, no, it's next week, mate. Okay, yeah, I can't come.
Yeah, and that's it. That's where you're at. But it's a beautiful thing. What it? A lot of parents will talk about the negatives a lot, and but I tell you, at the end of the day, it's becoming a parent, being able to become a parent it's one of the most beautiful things ever.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to be all right, mate. I think you're going to be all right.
Thanks, man. I mean, I'm okay at this bit, you know, I'm okay, but I'm hoping that, because I haven't had to sort of discipline her yet. That's the hard bit, isn't it? I've got two nieces who I have not disciplined. You know, I'm the crazy uncle who has a laugh with them, you know, and gives them sweets they shouldn't have, you know, and whatever. But I haven't had to sort of tell them off yet. So that's the bit that I'm worried about, is being tough enough with someone that you just love and you don't want to be nasty to, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I remember worrying too much about being their mate rather than telling them off. Especially when their mother and I split up, you don't want to be the bad guy. You don't want them to. Yeah. They come to me at weekends. I don't want that to be the time when I'm telling them off.
Yeah, sure.
So the amount of times their mum would go, "You did this at school. You're gonna have to have a word." I'm like, "All right, yeah, leave it to me." And then he'd come over and actually that thing. He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "All right, well, how do you feel about it?" "Well, you know, I'm sorry." I'm like, "All right, cool. Let's go out."
Yeah, exactly. You
know, yeah, it's a tricky one.
And especially for us, you know, as we're in entertainment and, you know, comics as well, we want to be loved. You know, we want that. We need that validation. You know, we need to be found funny and loved. So we kind of, I mean, I'm just trying to charm her the whole time. Whereas, you know, Sarah's saying, "Yeah, but you shouldn't really let her do that, James. You know, she should be doing this now." Okay, sure. You actually are right, but I just want her to smile at me and prefer me.
And you see, daughters and dads, I mean, she's going to walk all over you. You know that, don't you?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as Simon Munnery said, she's going to steal from you. She will be in your pockets, and because apparently it's not stealing if it's from your dad. So There you go. Listen, this has been fantastic, James. I want to thank you for coming on. Where can we find you online?
Well, I'm on Instagram, which is JamesRedmond1, and then Twitter as well. I think it's the same handle. Is that the phrase that I use? Yeah, and I'm just starting to put stand-up gigs back in the diary, and they'll be on there. I'm on Pointless Celebrities on Saturday night.
Yes.
Which I won't say how it went, but don't miss the first half.
man.
Apart from that, I'm doing a thing with Jade, aren't I? I'm doing a show with Jade. I'm not sure how much we can talk about that, but I'm doing a show that Jade's doing.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, in Bristol, if that's any clue.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with something very tall.
Yes, yeah. Very, very tall. Oh, well very done.
So yeah, I've only got a tiny part in that, but looking forward to that. But yeah, I just likewise, mate. I've just loved seeing. I mean, you know, yeah. I love you anyway.
Yeah.
But you could have been anyone, literally, and I'd have been over the moon to see you.
This is what I'm talking about. It's just when we say go and talk to someone, it's not necessarily about, I need to talk to you about my problems. It's literally talking to a different face.
Yeah.
And getting some different energy from a different person. And that will do wonders for your mental health.
Yeah. And you'll be surprised. You know, people that you think are really together and, you know, real adults, you think, fucking hell, you are the same. You have that problem too. I didn't know that your mum's very ill and you're really down about it. I didn't know that. Fuck. Yeah. And you're struggling too. Fuck. And just chatting. And, you know, as I was told by that same shrink, you'll be amazed that helping somebody else helps you. Just chatting to someone else and getting them through something, you think, fuck, I feel better about my own shit.
Yeah.
You know, I was worried about being a bit bored, you know, and arguing over tiny things with my girlfriend. I've helped you with the fact that your dad's died. Fucking hell. Why am I worried about my own problems, you know? Plus, aren't I a great person for helping you?
Little pat on the back. It always gets the juices flowing.
That's it.
But this has been, honestly, I love having these conversations, and I've really loved this one because you really are a top dude, and it's lovely
Likewise,
to have you on, man.
I'd say this
a lot, but let's meet up for coffee when we can, it'd just be nice to see you and talk absolute shit, and hopefully we'll do some gigs as well.
Definitely.
Lovely. Thanks, James.
Thanks, mate. Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.